this is the real conspiracy. The conspiracy is have as many social problems as possible
to distract.
That people get distracted by, that people concentrate on, whether it's a pandemic, whether it's masks, vaccines, pride, trans movement, drag show, sponsor drag shows for kids if you want people to get mad and want people to get distracted.
Right, right.
Sponsor
Let them
that.
Focus on that.
Get people to think that it's a good idea to do that and watch the outrage. You know, get people to think that the oceans are going to be boiling in 5 years. There's so many of these social distractions that are in our face all day long about everything. While all this is going on, money's getting moved around, decisions are getting made.
Yeah.
And it's a brilliant cover.
So, Molly, the point that he was making wasn't specifically about this topic, but just the fact that, you know, it's a diversion tactic from the left. It's like, hey, you know, don't worry about all the corruption. Don't worry about selling out America and the vice presidency to the Chinese. Look at this.
Welcome to this Christian Patriot News Update. Today, we'll discuss Q's timeline. Q explained to Anons years ago where we are in the plan and how much longer we would have to wait. But very few ever reference this very important drop. More evidence is coming out every day. The truth about the 2020 stolen election. It was the crime of the century. Plus, what really happened on January 6th. Federal agents were involved, and now we have undeniable proof to share far and wide. The Biden crime family corruption just topped $40 million in confirmed bribes from foreign nations. We've got evidence coming out daily from whistleblowers describing purposely killing COVID patients with remdesivir and ventilators and using inflated COVID deaths to steal the 2020 election and force dangerous experimental vaccine bioweapons on the world. A surging national debt means big gains for gold. The debt ceiling drama ended with nominal budget cuts and a shiny new credit card with no limit for the federal government. The first business day after, the U.S. Treasury increased our national debt by over $350 billion. It's no wonder Google searches for how to buy gold hit record levels in 2023. It's as simple as calling the Patriot Gold Group today before it's too late. Mention Christian Patriot News and get best-in-class service from Patriots Protecting Patriots. Patriot Gold Group has the No Fee for Life IRA, where your IRA or 401k can be in physical gold and silver, and you may be eligible for the No Fee for Life IRA on qualifying rollovers. Call 844-402-0988 for a free investor guide today, or use the first link in the description box below this video. Patriot Gold Group is a Consumer Affairs top-rated gold IRA dealer 6 years in a row.
Who wants to have elections, think of it, where millions of votes come in, you don't know where the hell they're coming. They send out millions and millions and millions of ballots all over the place. Then they come back. Nobody has any idea where they're from. It's a rig. It's a horrible, horrible thing. And the Democrats, you know who knows it better than anybody? The Democrats know it. And in fact, Democrats, the actual voter, they want to do something about it. They want to do something about it. But the politicians don't. Because when you have policies of open borders and no voter ID and high interest rates and high taxes, look at the taxes. They want to quadruple your taxes. They want to quadruple. It used to be if you were a politician, when I was a kid growing up, if you were a politician, you said, I will reduce taxes. Well, that's what I say. I'm old fashioned. They want to increase your taxes by four times. Well, you pay four times as much tax. Your interest rates have gone through, since I got out, your interest rates have gone through. We're getting the interest rates down. We're getting the energy down. You're going to make so much money. You're going to be so happy. You're going to love the president so much, even more than you did before.
Here's Q-Drop 3387, originally posted July 9th of 2019. So a four-year delta. Q says, listen very carefully. Again, note, past 2 years, next 6 years. You were told what was going to happen. You were told what battles we face. Think about election integrity. Strategic, pre-planned, the Q plan was planned years in advance. Patriots are in full control. Consider these numbers. This was posted July 9th of 2019. So the past 2 years would have taken us from July 2017 through July of 2019. When Q says the next 6 years, from July of 2019, we're going all the way till July of 2025. So we're going past the 24 election by approximately 6 months. Personally, I'm not going to be the least bit surprised when the Dems try to steal yet another presidential election in 2024. And if President Trump, the Q team, and the U.S. military want them to get away with it, to show we the people the truth of what's really happening, then that's exactly what will happen. Remember, it's not about telling people the truth. We have to show the people the truth. Only then will there be a meaningful, lasting, and impactful change in our nation. Some people throw their hands up in the air and they say, well, listen, if they're going to steal the 2024 election, then I'm not going to even vote. That's the wrong attitude. And here's why. I like what Where We Go One, We Go All has to say on that particular matter. Personally, for me, the notion of telling people not to vote is extremely detrimental to our fight. I understand the cabal cheats and all that, but it's a battlefront, one of many, cheating and all. We absolutely need to overwhelm it with everything we have, win, lose, or draw, every November. One, you can definitely catch them off guard and win things. For example, Trump in 2016, people like Boebert, Marjorie Taylor Greene in 2020, etc. We won Congress back last year in 2022. In 2021, we won a bunch of local races. In New Jersey, for example, a truck driver unseated the Democrat state Senate leader, amongst other wins like Youngkin. We should have won a lot more, but that's not the point. If we were demoralized to the point of not voting because voting doesn't matter, we would have lost all of them. Every last race, it would be infinitely closer to the dystopian prison state they wish to create. Two, it also forces the cabal to expend massive amounts of human assets. Every race, every district, every state requires local plants to be embedded into 100,000 different precincts. That's a lot of money, a lot of coordination, and a lot of room for human error. Hence, their mess-ups and getting caught all over the place. It's got to be a massive pain to put together every year for them, and that is how you press on an enemy in an effort to continually wear them out and eventually break them. So folks, let's do that to our enemies and do not allow the satanic New World Order deep state criminal cabal to do that to us. And three, it also provides more and more mistakes every year that we catch and add to the pile of examples we use to break the normies' hypnotic acceptance of statements like 2020 was the most secure and safe election ever. Voting is a must. It's not everything, and it might not even be what wins this fight in the end, but it's a massive part of the fight. This is why I detest people using their platform to disenfranchise patriots into not voting. Your vote is a weapon. It counts.
They can lie, they can cheat, they can do whatever they want. The one thing they can't do is if we get massive numbers of votes, they can only go so far. So we have to slab it. We have to get massive numbers. They have to come out in numbers like they've never seen before. You know, last time I got the largest number of votes in the history of our country for a sitting president. There's been millions more than Obama, millions more than Obama's second term. You know, if you look, most presidents, a lot of presidents, but most presidents get less votes their second term because people get tired. They get bored, they get tired, or they didn't do a good job. As an example, President Obama got far fewer votes his second term. If you take a look at us, we got the largest number, largest increase of any president who's ever served. And they rigged the election. You know, they rigged the election. It's just one of those things.
This was a racist, white supremacist insurrection. Well, okay. There was no indication to this day that race had anything to do with it at all. Like, nothing. These are people who thought the election was stolen from them. There's some evidence they were right. We could debate that. But that's what they thought. That's a meaningful thing. If you've got a big population in your country that doesn't believe that your elections are on the level, you need to figure out a way to convince them that the elections are on the level, or else you can't have democracy because it's a faith-based system. So that was the first thing I noticed. There was no effort at all to convince people, actually, electronic voting machines are secure, which they are not. By the way, that's a lie. In any country that has electronic voting machines is by definition at risk of having its elections stolen. By definition, no country that cared about democracy would have electronic voting machines, okay? First thing. But no one even, And by the way, many Democrats have made that point. Not now, but 10 years ago. There was no effort to reassure anybody. They immediately used it as a cudgel to make their political opponent shut up and in a lot of cases to send them to jail. So I noticed this. I'm like, wait a second. Nobody here is operating in good faith at all. They're just immediately lying with maximum aggression. And anyone who asked questions about it, like me, and if you could go back and look at the tape, my first five shows on January 6th were like, well, yeah, it's bad, but I don't think you're telling the truth about what actually happened. Shut up, racist. What? So that's always the key for me. If it's like an infection, you know, it's infected when it hurts, you press it, you recoil. They immediately recoiled when you asked any questions about January 6th. And that was a tip off to me. I mean, I had no thought in my head as I watched this happen on television and in the subsequent weeks that U.S. law enforcement or military agencies had anything to do with it. That never crossed my mind. I never thought there was it was a false flag or anything like that. I'm not a conspiracist by temperament. I never thought that. And then I interviewed the chief of the Capitol Police, Stephen Sund, in an interview that was never aired on Fox. By the way, I was fired before it could air. I'm going to interview him again. But Stephen Sund was the totally non-political, worked for Nancy Pelosi. I mean, this was not some right-wing activist. He was the chief of the Capitol Police on January 6th. And he said, oh, yeah. That crowd was filled with federal agents. What? Yes. Well, he would know, of course, because he was in charge of security at the site. So the more time has passed, now it's been 2.5 years, it becomes really obvious that core claims they made about January 6th were lies. And my view about events and about people is if you catch someone telling a lie about one thing, the first question you have is, what else are you lying about? If you say to your wife, where were you? I was at the grocery store. If you find out she was not at the grocery store, then it raises, okay, probably not just lying about being at the grocery store, were you? Like, what is this exactly? Why were you lying about that? And that's kind of the way I feel about January. Like, what is this? What this is, they're clearly lying. That's provable. Why?
Under our leadership, just a short while ago, real median household income in Nevada, think of this, it rose by $10,992. Nobody has ever had a number like that. Now you're losing that. You're losing it in big ways, but primarily because of inflation, because you're getting a salary and your salary is getting worthless. It's getting just worse. It's going down at a level that nobody's ever seen before. We've never seen levels like this where it's going down. So you think you're employed and you think you're getting the same salary, but your salary is worth a lot less because of what they've done. And we're going to be drilling and we're going to be reducing energy costs. And then we're going to be selling our energy to Europe and other places, and we're going to be reducing our debt and reducing taxes. You know, you got the largest tax decrease or largest tax cut in the history of our country, larger than the Reagan cuts, largest ever. We're going to be reducing taxes still further, and we're going to be paying off debt. We were all set to start. And then we got hit with COVID, and we had to solve that problem, and we did. We did a phenomenal job. Never got the credit for that we deserved. We did a phenomenal job. Nobody knew what the hell it was. We knew it came out from China, although China tried to blame Italy, Spain, France. They were trying to blame everybody. But ultimately, I said where it came from. It came from the Wuhan labs, and I said that right at the beginning. See, there's a hat over there. I love the person who says, Trump was right about everything. Actually, you're pretty close. You're pretty close. But it came right out of Wuhan. But think of that, $10,992, that's what you did, and yearly. And nobody has ever done, that's never been done in our country before. Now you're losing like amounts because of what they've done with inflation. So we're going to get energy. We're going to pay off debt. We're going to reduce taxes. We're going to then lower interest rates because interest rates are way too high. People can't, anybody looking for a house? Because you might as well stop. You can't get the money from the banks. The interest rates are way, way too high. And yet they need to do it because they think they have to kill inflation. But you can kill inflation in other ways also. You don't have to kill the people who are already being destroyed by what's taking place.
Prior to COVID, I was an ICU trauma flight nurse. And at the time of COVID, and you know, May 2020, I was actually 4 months postpartum. My daughter was 4 months old. I was still breastfeeding. And I went to New York because on the news, they needed nurses and needed people who knew how to manage ventilators. And I told my husband, I'm like, you know, we're all sheltering in place at that time, at the beginning of the pandemic. And I said, you know, I should really go to New York because how often do you get to help serve your country in a time of need and not be military? So that's what I did. I went with a travel agency that provided room and transport and things like that. And I went there, and mind you, this wasn't my first like mass casualty type emergency situation. I had worked in refugee camps before prior to, being pregnant. I worked the Ebola outbreak. I've been to Syria, things like that. And, you know, it was just absolute chaos when I got there.
I know that there was a video that went viral of you really getting to a point where you were seriously breaking down emotionally. We're going to roll to that clip quickly.
You know, when I try and talk with some of the other nurses here, and they're like, well, you can't save everybody. And they all know what's happening. They all agree with me. And they all just shake their heads. And I'm like, am I the only one who is not a sociopath? To think that this is okay?
So, you know, I was upset because at this point, you know, when I did that video, they had actually moved me units. They had moved me off the ICU and they were moving me up to a unit that was non-COVID, that was post-surgical. And it was because I was trying to get my Black patient off the ventilator. I'm like, look, he's completely COVID negative times three. You guys are trying to make me hang remdesivir. And I'm noticing that everyone that gets remdesivir is dying. His white blood cell count is good. It's starting to climb a little bit because you guys won't give me antibiotics. All of these lines in him are now the risk for killing him, not COVID. I mean, once again, our ventilator settings are beautiful. We can start doing, you know, sedation vacations. I'm not hanging remdesivir. He doesn't need it. Who consented to this? Because he has no family. And that's when they moved me up units. And that's when I realized that this was just a rigged game. They did not want these people off these ventilators. They did not want them discharged home. They, you know, I mean, why would you not want someone off the ventilator? Because here's the thing, if you can get them off the ventilator, you can send them to a rehab or an LTAC, and free that bed up and get the next sick person in there. That's how it should be. You shouldn't just be sitting on these beds when you know someone qualifies to be out of that bed. And so it was like, I'm like, they don't want these people off these vents. They just want them to die. Like, why? Like, I've seen all of this, like, death and negligence and malfeasance go on. You know, I stopped helping other people because they didn't want my opinion on, like, vent settings or anything like that. I'm like, I'm just going to focus on my patients. I'm going to make sure that they live. And they did not, like, if you caused any type of a commotion, if you even challenged what they were saying, you were gone. When they sent me back to the hotel that night after that viral video, I told my lead, I'm like, you know, she's like, are you okay psychologically? And I'm like, I'm psychologically stable. I want to throw a chair across this room because nobody's listening to me and they're killing these patients. And my lead said to me, oh, well, you must have never worked in a teaching hospital before. And I'm like, yeah, I've worked in a teaching hospital before and we don't murder our patients. And then I got back to the hotel and it was required for me to go to occupational health and talk with the trauma counselor there and get checked out. And then they had to go to my room to make sure I wasn't going to like kill myself. And I'm like, what? And I'm like, and I told the trauma counselor that was there stationed in the hotel, they had called ahead to make sure that she would meet me at the door of the hotel. And she's like, and I'm like, no, I'm pissed about what's going on. They're killing these patients. They don't care because, you know, they're just these disposable minorities in inner city hospital. Nobody cares. And she's like, you know, I hear that a lot from the nurses. And I'm like, everybody knows, nobody will listen. And I'm just like, so then she had to escort me back to my hotel, kind of make sure I didn't have anything in there that I would hurt myself with. And her solution was for me to take a bath. Here's a bath bomb. And get some sleep. You'll be better in the morning. I'm surprised she didn't give me a cookie.
Brand new breaking news. So basically, the headline at which I'm looking says, Lancet study on COVID vaccine autopsies finds 74% were caused by vaccine. Journal removes study within 24 hours. And what I will, you know, share with everyone is that some of the most distinguished and highly published people in their field, Dr. McCullough, Dr. Harvey Risch, and their colleagues at the Wellness Company, published a preprint on Lancet of their findings looking at deaths shortly subsequent to mRNA vaccine injection. However, less than 24 hours later, the study was removed and a note appeared stating very damagingly to the reputations of the distinguished authors, quote, "This preprint has been removed by preprints with The Lancet because the study's conclusions are not supported by the study methodology." Dr. McCullough, over to you. What the heck happened?
We kept it up on their preprint server and this, you know, got announced. Before we knew it, overnight, the downloads of the full manuscript in the preprint server were by the hundreds per minute. I've never seen a manuscript. It was literally flying off the shelf because the evidence tables are so detailed on every death. They're saying there's 48 pages total of evidence tables. And so it was literally flying off the shelf at Lancet, all over social media. Then this morning we get a notice that you read that said, well, we're taking it down because they said the conclusions are not supported by the methodology. Methodology, you know, we lay it out. It's a standard search methodology. I've done this my whole career. Standard adjudication and ultimately agreement. And again, it's autopsy. So there's not too much to disagree with. The autopsy, if you show a blood clot, they show heart damage. So the interesting thing that occurred, though, is if Lancet would have done nothing, this would have been up on the preprint server. The paper would be published elsewhere. And it honestly wouldn't have gained the notoriety that it's gained.
Wow.
So now this is all over the world. People are basically crying out medical censorship by Lancet. And the question is, who called Lancet? Who actually raised objection to have Lancet do this overnight?
Check out this graph. The dark blue line represents the decreasing value of the U.S. dollar. The gold line represents the increasing value of gold. The dollar has lost 98.2% of its purchasing power since 1900. Gold has increased 53.9 times in value during that time. Protect your hard-earned savings by investing in gold and silver. Call the Patriot Gold Group today before it's too late, where your IRA or 401k can be in physical gold and silver, and you may be eligible for the No Fee for Life IRA on qualifying rollovers. Call 844-402-0988 for a free investor guide today, or use the first link in the description box below this video. Tell them Christian Patriot News referred you, and they'll take terrific care of you. Patriot Gold Group is a Consumer Affairs top-rated gold IRA dealer 6 years in a row.
So,
as
you might expect for International Fight Week, a lot of people are in the building, but no one needs more security than the former president of the United States, obviously a really good friend of Dana White.
Oh, my word. I mean, listen, he's a massive, massive fighter. I mean, that just shows how big this event is.
We have a corrupt, incompetent leader in Biden. Everyone knows he's... Now, I wouldn't have said this 3 weeks ago. I wouldn't have said it. I was actually very kind to him. I was very kind to him. But now we can't be kind anymore because the gloves are off. The jar has been opened. He's taken millions of dollars from other countries like China. He's totally compromised. He's taken millions and millions of dollars from other countries. And in history, there's never been a scandal like this, but the fake news doesn't want to report it. There's never been in history anything like it. $10,200,000 from China, millions and millions of dollars from Ukraine. These are compromised people. The people that are leading us are corrupt and they're compromised.
We've already seen some stuff, Jason, that including the WhatsApp messages to Chinese officials. And here we have Comer saying what you're about to see is disturbing. What do you expect he might unveil?
Well, the way you break this down is that, remember, there's something like a dozen plus organizations or companies. These are companies that don't offer any products. They don't offer any services. They're used as essentially shell organizations to move money around. Then you have nearly 175 suspicious activity reports. These are the banking, the U.S. Treasury Department. If you have transactions that raise red flags, they need to highlight that. So James Comer was able to get that. Then you got to flow the money through that. And you're going to see that not only Hunter Biden, James Biden, others, that how that money's flowing, where it goes, whose pocket it ultimately ends up with. And it's everything from Joe Biden's grandkids to his relatives. You know, you have Haley Biden, who's a school counselor, who ends up with money in her pocket, all through flow of money that's coming out of China and other countries around the world. We think that it's north of $40 million at this point. But James Comer is now putting that web together. I think we'll see about two-thirds of the picture by the time he gets done with this week. He still has another set of bank records that he needs to go through after that.
I have news for you this morning. There is a company called Syngenta AG. It's about to go public. Syngenta is a subsidiary of China National Chemical Corporation, a.k.a. ChemChina, and an affiliate of Sinochem Group. Both of those companies were put on the sanctioned list of America by President Donald Trump in an executive order. What does Joe Biden do when he walks into office? He takes these companies off of the sanction list. That sanction list would have stopped Wall Street from making money on any of these companies and selling it to unwitting investors, but that's no longer the case. So we have to ask the question, what does Beijing have on Joe Biden? And was he paid for this decision as well? To take these companies off of the sanction list, I don't know. We're going to be investigating it. But James Comer, the chairman of the Oversight Committee, says that he's identifying and investigating at least nine decisions that Joe Biden has made that perhaps could have been decisions that he was paid for, given all of the millions that James Comer has identified that Biden and his family has taken in from communist China. House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer on this program earlier this year on the pressure that whistleblowers and witnesses are facing for exposing the Biden family business dealings. Now, one of those witnesses is coming forward to explain why he is on the run from the law after allegedly speaking with officials from both the DOJ and the FBI. In exclusive remarks obtained by the New York Post's Miranda Devine, Israeli professor Gal Luft said this. Over an intensive two-day meeting, I shared my information about the Biden family financial transactions with the CEFC, that's the Chinese energy company, including specific dollar figures. I also provided the name of Rob Walker, who later became known as Hunter Biden Bagman. Joining me right now with reaction is Wisconsin Republican Senator Ron Johnson. He's been at the forefront in this investigation into President Biden and his family's business dealings from day one. Senator, it's good to see you this morning. Thanks very much for being here this morning.
Morning, Maria.
Your reaction to Gal Luft's testimony and the fact that now he's on the run, afraid for his life because he exposed Biden family business dealings.
Well, I'm glad you're bringing it up. Miranda Devine did great work again. She got the video. What's very interesting about Dr. Luft is he's an energy expert, had a think tank, consulted with people like CIA Director James Woolsey, Robert McFarland, and he was consulting with CEFC, the same Chinese company connected to the Communist Party that was paying the Bidens millions of dollars. When he heard that Joe Biden was going to be running for president, that alarmed him because he knew how compromised Joe Biden would be. So he met with two prosecutors from the Southern District of New York and four FBI agents in Brussels for 2 days in March of 2019. What's interesting about those individuals, one of the prosecutors from the Southern District of New York is the same prosecutor that prosecuted Patrick Ho, the money launderer that paid Hunter Biden $1 million to defend him. And in that trial, he prevented the name of Biden's from being brought into court. Also, one of the FBI agents was the same agent then that signed the subpoena from the Hunter Biden laptop. So, you know, Dr. Luft has shown is the same financial transactions, the millions of dollars, the $100,000 per month retainer for Hunter, $65,000 for James Biden, paid by CEFC. He's got a wealth of information, but they never followed up on that meeting. Instead, they arrested him in Cyprus to silence him. They could have gone to Israel. He resides in Israel. We have extradition treaties, but they instead arrest him in Cyprus. Now, he's literally fleeing for his life right now. He's on the run. He's an important witness. He needs to be granted immunity to be able to testify and tell his story.
Well, how are we ever going to get to the bottom of all of this if the people who are abusing power are still in power? It's the same with the Russia collusion story. All of those people who pushed Russia collusion aggressively are now, I mean, many of them are actually in Biden's cabinet. Look at Jake Sullivan. He was the one pushing the story for Hillary Clinton. So what are we going to do, and what can you do as an elected official to ensure that this corruption is exposed?
Well, we have to keep exposing the truth. We need more whistleblowers coming forward. But they've done a really good job of setting up their procedures in the FBI, in the Department of Justice, to insulate themselves from scrutiny. I mean, look at the letters that David Weiss sent to Jim Jordan in June 7th, June 30th. You know, basically giving Jim Jordan the middle finger. You know, you can't investigate us because we have an active investigation. That's what they always use as an excuse. So they've insulated themselves from scrutiny. It's very difficult. But, you know, one indication of the problem we have in terms of the multiple tier system of justice here is Robert Mueller, in less than 2 years, spent $32 million on his special counsel investigation on a complete hoax, on a false narrative that the Obama administration knew was perpetrated by Hillary Clinton as a dirty trick, the Russian collusion with Trump hoax. $32 million. John Durham, in over 3 years, only spent $7.7 million and delivered virtually nothing. Certainly prevented Senator Grassley and I from investigating the corrupt Russian collusion investigation. Now you've got Jack Smith. In a few months, it spent $5.5 million. Robert Hur, who's investigating Biden's classified documents, spent $616,000. So when you just see the resources and effort put behind targeting Republicans or Donald Trump versus what little resources and how corrupt and unthorough the investigations are against Democrats, it's pretty revealing.
Well, that's incredible. Those numbers are speaking for themselves. You're talking about $616,000 spent by Robert Hur to look at the Biden classified documents mess, compared with Jack Smith at $5.5 million ongoing just in a couple of months. People did not understand. That's really not been out there very much. The fact that John Durham spent $7.7 million and Robert Mueller $32 million versus $616,000 for her, really extraordinary. You say that there are three scandals that we need to focus on: the scandal of the Biden family influence peddling, the scandal of the federal agencies ignoring crimes from Democrats in plain sight, and the scandal of the media completely ignoring all of it.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it. What evidence are we going to have to develop before the mainstream media actually pays attention to the corruption of the Bidens? You know, one of the reasons John Durham wasn't able to get convictions is I think the jury took a look at the bad actors in those cases were literally the FBI. And so Michael Sussman and Igor Danchenko got let off the hook because the juries recognized the people committing probably crimes were the FBI in those jury trials. Yeah. So again, the FBI, the Department of Justice, they have insulated themselves from scrutiny. That's why what we need is we actually need Democrats to be concerned about this as well. We need the majority in the Senate so I can be chairman of the Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations, and we need to hold these people accountable by first exposing the truth, which is difficult to dig up.
Here's a post from Patriots in Control on both True Social and Telegram. He says the Washington Post fact checker found no evidence for Tim Ballard's claim that 10,000 children are smuggled into the United States for sex annually. No evidence, even a simple Google search, shows the State Department estimates of 14,500 to 17,500 people trafficked in annually. More stellar. The fake news is the propaganda arm of the satanic New World Order deep state criminal cabal. In this article, the Washington Compost says Sound of Freedom is a box office hit whose star embraces QAnon. The low-budget film about child sex trafficking almost topped the box office on July 4th, but its star, Jim Caviezel, has linked it to the QAnon movement. Remember, folks, there's Q. And there are Anons, but there is no QAnon. Glenn Kessler, the Washington Compost fact checker, found no evidence for Tim Ballard's claim that 10,000 children are smuggled into the United States for sex annually. And here's that Google search. The U.S. Department of State estimates 14,500 to 17,500 people are trafficked into the United States each year. Physical abuse. Trafficked victims are often beaten and brutalized, raped, and sexually abused. So who is the number one target of the fake news, propaganda media? Our favorite president, Donald J. Trump. Who's two? Q. Number three is you and me. So when you see clips like this from the fake news, know this. You and everyone you know needs to see the sound of freedom.
And you seem pretty familiar with him because he doesn't really hide his association with this real wild plot that involves, you know, drinking the blood of children and things like that.
No, he doesn't hide it at all. And you have a lot of people who are in this world of QAnon who say, oh, they don't know what that is. They've never heard of it. They're just asking questions. With somebody like Jim Caviezel, he is openly embracing it. He's openly using its catchphrases and its concepts. He's speaking at QAnon conventions. And this film is being marketed to either specific QAnon believers or to people who believe all of the same tenets as QAnon but claim they don't know what it is.
And The Sound of Freedom does focus on a real issue of sex trafficking. But that theme, it's sort of like that kernel of truth that feeds the QAnon conspiracy theory. Tell us how those two things work together.
Sure. And the most durable and the most believable conspiracy theories are not entirely false. There's something in them that is true and the rest of it is false. But the believers point to the one true thing and they say, oh, you don't believe that this particular thing is true. In terms of child trafficking, we know trafficking is real. We know it has real victims. No one is denying that. But these films are created out of moral panics. They're created out of bogus statistics. They're created out of fear. And with something like Sound of Freedom, it specifically is looking at QAnon concepts of these child trafficking rings that are run by the high-level elites and only people like Tim Ballard and only people like Jim Caviezel and by extension only people like the ticket buyer can help bring these trafficking rings down. So there's a very participatory element. You're not just going to see a movie, you're just killing 2 hours on a hot day. You are helping bring down these pedophile rings and save children. Now, it's not true, but it's a very comforting and it's a very warm feeling to have.
All this week, we have been featuring The Atlantic's special double issue devoted to American democracy in crisis. From the events surrounding the January 6th insurrection to the extraordinary Republican efforts to prove that voter fraud is real, the magazine devotes itself to the real threats that America faces. But perhaps no issue is more important than the conspiratorial thinking that has led many otherwise well-meaning Americans to raise awareness about child sex trafficking epidemic that simply does not exist.
In the United States, we are the number one demand for child sex. Once you understand that, you got to be very careful when creating policies about children coming into our country.
You are one of the leaders in this country of fighting childhood sexual abuse. Tell me a little bit about what you do.
There's more people today enslaved than ever before in the history of the world. About 6 million children, according to the Department of Energy, forced into either sex, labor, or organ harvest.
I spent a couple days on the southern border to see firsthand what was going on. What I saw was shocking. When we look at this open border, we look at people pouring in. Whatever you think about it, this is sex trafficking. This is childhood trafficking in its purest form right here in our country.
We know that thousands of these kids are under 5 years old. Under 5 years old. So what are they doing showing up unaccompanied? Well, I can tell you because I've been there.
It's all rebel territory. No one goes in. Not the army, not the police, not us. What if this was your daughter?
They simply take a child. It's easy to kidnap a child in Central America. Very little enforcement, pretty easy to do. They take that child. They'll just put a name in their pocket of sponsor Joe Smith. And they come across and by law, because these children have to be released within a day or two. All they do is, oh, there's a sponsor. Call the number. Your name is associated with him. Oh, yeah, here's the address. Our taxpayer dollars will then put that kid on a bus and finalize the last leg of what I would call a human trafficking conspiracy.
He's fighting on the front lines of fighting to expose sex trafficking. He texted me last night. They were on a rescue for a male that was trafficked in Dallas area from the cartel. He texted me this morning. They got that man, that young man. They got that kid. He's doing it. Yako said, he tried to meet with Bush. He tried to meet with Clinton. He tried to meet with Obama. Who met him? Trump. Trump met with Yako. Trump met with Tim Ballard. Who's arrested more child sex trafficking? More apprehensions? What president arrested more? Trump, by far. What does Joe Biden do? He invites these sexual deviants. They want to flaunt and talk sex in front of children to the White House. Oh, but Orange Man bad. I really hope people are waking up. I hope you see that this is a spiritual battle. We can do things in the natural. We can support the right people that are going to do something from legislation, from a legislation level. And we've got to shut down the networks, the magazines, the news stands, any of these media companies that are trying to cast shade on this movie. They're trying to make it sound crazy. We need an uprising in America and around the world. But understand me, as America goes, so goes the rest of the world.
Where am I on Trump now? Well, I love Trump. Personally, I think we're going to see Trump's emergence as the most significant thing to happen in American politics in 100 years, because he reoriented the Republican Party against the wishes of Republican leaders. But when I think about Trump right now, so it's July of 2023, you know, I'm struck by his foreign policy views. You know, Trump is the only person with stature in the Republican Party, really, who's saying, wait a second, you know, why are we supporting an endless war in Ukraine? And that, you know, leaving aside whether Trump's going to get the nomination or get elected president or would be a good president, you know, I can't even assess that. All I can say at this point is I'm so grateful that he has that position. He's right. And everyone in Washington's wrong. Everyone. Mm-hmm. And Trump is right on that question. And it's a big question. That war is reshaping the world. It's reshaping the economy of the world. It's reshaping populations. I was just in Romania last week, you know, which is, of course, shares a border with Ukraine. The refugees in that region, the number of people killed in that war, I mean, Europe will never be the same because of this war. And it really matters. And Trump alone among popular figures in both parties understands that, and I'm grateful for it. Whether he gets the nomination or gets elected, you know, words really matter. Saying something true out loud matters. And he is saying true things about Ukraine, and God bless him. That's how I feel. The war in Ukraine is a red line for a lot of people in business and politics. And you see it in our politics in the U.S., where the leaders of the Republican Party in the Congress, who really are repulsive, in my view, are now supporting sending cluster bombs to Ukraine. Ukraine is losing the war, obviously. The United States could, and Ukrainians are dying in huge numbers, and the country's being destroyed. And so the U.S. could force a peace like tonight. They could. Uniquely, they have that power. And they won't. And they're continuing to allow Ukrainians to be killed and the country to be devastated. So I don't know their motive. I can only guess. But I know that if you criticize that, they really are intent on making you be quiet.
Some of you hearing my voice right now, you've been blessed tremendously by God in the area of finances. God gives some people a very special financial anointing, and they prosper in everything they do. And quite often, God gives such people a heart of generosity. Please contact me personally to step up and sponsor a show. My personal email address is christianpatriotnews@protonmail.com. It's on your screen now. Please use the subject line, sponsor a show. I'm not talking about advertising a product or a service. Those are advertisers. I'm talking about supporting me and my beautiful wife personally for our work as digital soldiers, sharing truth far and wide. Thank you in advance for your incredible generosity. We are truly grateful. Remember, the best is truly yet to come, and we are going to love the way this movie ends. In the end, God wins. Good will prevail against evil. So when our favorite president gets back into the White House, that'll be a victory worth celebrating across the United States and around the world. But a greater victory, worth infinitely more, is that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The gospel is this: God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever puts their faith in Christ will not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm going to take you to a section of Matthew chapter 6 today. Matthew 6 says, "Do not worry. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' Or 'What shall we drink?' Or 'What shall we wear?' For the pagans," that's the unbelievers, "run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." And here's Matthew 6:33, one of my absolute favorite verses. "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." And so there it is, Matthew 6:33. "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." So when it says to seek God first, I look at that as twofold. Number one, we are to keep God our number one priority, first place in our lives, first place every day. And number two, I like to seek God first every day before I do anything else. That way, before I face the world or have an opportunity to influence anyone in any way, I'm already filled to overflowing in my mind and in my heart with the perfect love of our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So my recommendation to you is to pray first every day and to read God's Word. For those of you who are baptized in the Spirit, the power, and the fire of God, you can pray in tongues. You can sing praise and worship songs. You can worship God without singing. You can just let him know that he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who is and who was and who will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and whose kingdom will have no end. You can let him know he is El Shaddai. He is the Lord God Almighty. He is the very author of life. He is light, and in him there is no darkness. You can let him know that he is perfect, amazing, and wonderful in every single way. You can let him know that he truly is a good, good Father. Let him know that he is the song in your heart and the praise on your lips. And as the deer pants for streams of water, so our hearts, so our souls pant for you, O Lord. You can say, "Lord, my God, how majestic is your name, and all of the earth, all of creation reveals your incredible splendor." Just tell him how good he is. Seek him first every single day. Seek God while he may be found, and be a wise virgin. You see, a wise virgin has oil in her lamp and extra oil. You can't pray enough today for tomorrow. Remember, each day contains enough trouble of its own. We can deal with tomorrow, tomorrow. All we can do today is make sure that we're seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then trusting God that he'll take care of all the rest. And so please join me in prayer. I want to pray specifically for anyone hearing my voice right now who may not already have their faith in our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I just pray for anyone who doesn't yet know your Son as their personal Lord and Savior. Nobody comes to you, Father, unless your Spirit draws them. So I pray, Father, that right now your Spirit would move in the hearts of any unbelievers out there, that they would turn from their sin and they would turn from their unbelief, and that they would turn to you and put their faith in Christ. Your word says that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and if we believe in our hearts that you raised Jesus from the dead, we will be saved. So you can confess that right now for the first time. You can simply say, Jesus Christ is Lord. And when you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you have eternal life, not by being good enough, but through faith in Christ. You see, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever puts their faith in Christ will not perish, but have everlasting life. If you can believe it, Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. You see, you couldn't be good enough on your own. So God's plan from the beginning was to give his Son as the perfect Lamb, the perfect offering to pay the ransom of the sin debt of the world in full when he died for us on the cross at Calvary. And our role is this, to submit to God's plan, to admit that we are truly sinners in need of a Savior. So if you want to confess Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you can do that right now. Simply say a simple prayer like this. Father, I believe what this man is telling me, that you did indeed give your Son to die for me. And right now I'm putting my faith in Christ. I'm a sinner and I realize I can't be good enough to make it to heaven on my own, but I do realize that you do love me, and you proved that when you gave your Son to die for me. My faith is in your Son. He truly is your Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. And right now, by putting my faith and my hope and my trust in your Son, I thank you, Father, because your word says that through faith in Christ, I have eternal life. So right now, I turn from my sin, I turn from my unbelief, and I turn to you, and I place my trust in your Son. And I'm going to let the way that I live prove that I've turned from my sin and turned from my unbelief and turned to you and put my faith in your Son who died for me. Thank you, Father. I thank you for your Son. I thank you for the faith that you've given me to believe, and I thank you for eternal life. I pray these things in the precious name of your Lamb who takes away the sins of the world, my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Folks, remember, God loves a cheerful giver, and as a man sows, he shall also reap. Those who give sparingly, they will also receive sparingly. In Luke chapter 6, verse 38, it says, give, and it will be given to you. With good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put in your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. And I'll often share this with people. You've heard it said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And that's absolute truth. You should not put the Lord your God to the test. But did you know there's an exception to that in Scripture? It's in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, and it's the Lord himself speaking. He says, bring your whole tithe into the storehouse. Now, a tithe represents 10% of a person's income. So he says, bring the whole tenth into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, and see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you won't have room enough to store it.